Awesome. Well, first of all, let me just say thank you so much for the invitation, and it's been a blessing to be here tonight. We had a wonderful meal together with you guys before everybody got here, and just enjoyed some fellowship, and I appreciate the times that we spent fishing together. I've learned some stuff about saltwater fishing, and so never done much of that, so I've had a really good couple of times. We actually were introduced by my brother-in-law, Stacy,
yes,
who's his trainer,
yeah.
And so that's a really neat thing. And so really quickly, I'd just like to share with you guys, my wife and I, we've been in the ministry since 2003, so for about full-time ministry for about 20 years, and we have, in that short period of time, we've pastored churches, we've helped plant churches, we've been associate pastors, we've been young adult pastors, we've been outreach and missions pastors, we've been senior pastors, and so we've done several parts of that. We've also been missionaries, and God really spoke to us about a year before the pandemic started for us to step out in faith and go back to the mission field, and he's been speaking to us about Peru, and we've been going there on and off since 2015. And right now we're working in Iquitos, Peru mainly. It's a city, it's the largest city on the Amazon River that has no roads connecting it to the outside world, so the only way in is by plane or by boat. And so that's how you get there. It's a relatively large city to be on the Amazon, kind of locked in like that. There's around 500,000 people that live in the city. And then we're about 11 hours from the border of Brazil on the Amazon River by speedboat. And from what I've understood and all the research I've been able to do, there's about 500,000 people that live on that stretch of the river. And the great majority of them don't have access to clean drinking water. And I don't have time really tonight to go into all the way that we got involved in doing this, but we're basically using water filters. We're using clean water to get into villages, and what that clean water does is it gives us an opportunity to share the living water.
Amen.
And so we're partnering with churches here in the United States and partners here, even churches in Italy. We helped plant a church outside Venice, Italy from 2004 to 2010, and so God's been opening some doors in Italy, and we're beginning to work with some churches there as well to get them kind of stirred up for missions. And we spend about half of the year in Peru. We can be there for about 3 months, and then we have to come out because we don't have permanent documents to live there, so we can be there for 3 months at a time, and then we can be there for 6 months out of the year. And so we spend about 6 months there, and then we spend some time in Italy as well ministering, and then we spend the rest of our time here in the States ministering in different churches. And we're longtime members of River of Life Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I just want to just say thank you guys for, welcoming us tonight. It's been just a pleasure to be here so far. And I want to just share, I want to piggyback off what our brother shared tonight. I mean, what a great thing to think about going into the new year. And I got a question, tonight, what's more important than your life?
Mm.
And that may be that's kind of a strange question. What's more important than your life? For many people, we don't really even think about that. And I want to just tell you, when you find something that's more important than your life, you found your purpose. And I think that people are so hungry today for purpose.
Yes.
There's so many people that that we run into and that we meet that are living life, but they're not living life with a purpose. They don't know their purpose. Some people, I've heard people say, man, if I only knew what I was created to do, then I could actually, begin to do that and find my purpose. And many ask that question, what was I created for? There's a passage of scripture I want to go with you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read to you verses 11 through 21 in the New Living Translation. But before I go there, I'm going to just read this verse to you, and it's actually out of the Passion Translation. It's Acts 20:24, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "But whether I live or die is not important,
amen,
for I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and to finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace." And every time I read that verse, I can see Paul found his life. He found the purpose for which he was created. And I want to encourage each and every one of you before we go to 2 Corinthians that all of us have a purpose. All of us were created by God and by His design. And you have gifts and talents. You have abilities that other people don't have. You see the world in a different way. You're in a different geographical place. You're in a different status in life. And you have different wisdom. And it's all for the glory of God. And
that's
God
right.
can use that. And we can use all of the gifts and talents and the things God has given us for the purpose that He created us for. And when we begin to step into that, we begin to find the true joy of life. And that's living for Christ.
Amen.
And living for others. And I just pray that over the next few minutes, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God would speak to you personally tonight. And that He would just reignite that passion. You know, we can go out of 2023 and come into 2024 with a different mindset about the purpose that we were created for.
Yes.
And we can begin to do some things differently and see a different result. And so I'd like to pray, if that's okay, and then we will jump right into 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. So, Father, I just come to You right now in Jesus' name, and I thank You, Lord, that You're
yeah.
here with us. I thank You that Your presence is here. And God, I thank You that none of us are here by accident tonight. I thank You, Father, that Your desire is to speak to each of us. Your desire is to just bless each of us with Your Word. And Father, I thank You that I don't know the situations that anyone is facing. I don't know what problems, I don't know what stresses, I don't know any of those things, Holy Spirit, but You do. And I pray tonight that You would help me to get out of the way. And Lord, as we open up the Scriptures tonight and we look at them together, Lord, I pray that You would speak, God. I pray that You'd speak to each and every one of our hearts.
Yeah.
And God, that You would put Your stamp on us tonight. And God, like our brother said, that we would be purposeful and leave 2023 and go into 2024
yes.
with a purpose in our hearts and in our minds. To live for You and to live for others. God, I thank You for that. I give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so let me just start off real quick, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Let me open this up. I'm in my Spanish Bible right now, and I didn't even think about getting that fixed. Baby, you have it in the New Living Translation?
Uh-huh.
Can you just read verse 11 through 21 for me?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, mm-hmm. 11 through 21.
Okay. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our own life.
Amen.
He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak of Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
This passage of Scripture has always been very precious to me. Ever since I got saved, I tell people all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is my life verse, because I was living, you know, in a world of sin. I was a young Marine. I was a reconnaissance Marine. And I was doing a lot of bad stuff. And I actually had an encounter with Jesus after I came out of Bosnia on the USS Wasp that changed my life forever. And I surrendered my life to the Lord in 1998 on that ship. And I lived that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'm still living it today, that my old life died and I began to live a new life. But I don't know about you, but it seems like that old life wants to come back to life a lot.
Yes.
And it wants to come back, and it wants to creep in, and it wants to try to take back over. So I'm learning how to live in that balance of trusting in God and allowing that to continue to die. I want to look at verse 14. Paul says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we've all died to our old life.
Yes.
And, you know, Paul could say Christ's love controls us. He's talking about his ministry team, and he's saying, listen, the love of Christ controls us. It's what it's what compels us to do what we do. It's what gives us life. It's what causes us to do these things. And in the verse before, he goes, you know, listen, if you think we're crazy because of some of the things we're doing, the reason we're doing that is because Christ's love is controlling us. It's compelling us to do these things. In other words, we're not living our own lives anymore. We're living our lives based off of the love of Christ.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, Paul said that, you know, Christ's love controls me. I got a question for us tonight. What's controlling you right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's controlling my mind? What's controlling my thoughts? What's controlling my habits? You know, we have a remote control for the TV. And I think about that sometimes, and we think we control the TV. And in reality, I think a lot of people are actually controlled by the TV.
Yes.
Or they're controlled by their phone, or they're controlled. And it's so easy to allow something other than the love of Christ to control me. You know, even being a missionary, people want to put missionaries on a pedestal. I don't know about you, it's easy for me to get caught back up in the things of the world, or get, you know, caught back up. I'm not talking about in gross sin, but I'm saying to allow these things to have a place in my life that they don't need to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Paul was saying, like, no, the love of Christ controls me. It's why I do, you know, everything that I do. And I love what this verse says. It says, since we believe Christ died for all. How many of us believe that Jesus died for everyone? He died for all. And when I think about that, you know, it means my friends and my family. It means He died for all the Christians. He died for all the Jews. He died for all the Muslims. He died for when you really begin to think about it, you know, you see what's going on in Israel with this situation with Hamas and Israel. Jesus died for Hamas.
Yeah.
He died for these terrorists. I don't know if you've seen the video that's going around of this ISIS terrorist that actually had a dream, and Jesus came to him in his dream, and when he's sharing this, he's just weeping. He gave his life to the Lord. And it's an amazing thing. And you begin to think, man, Jesus died for all.
Yes.
He died for your neighbors. He died for your family. He died for the people in the jungle, the people in the Ukraine. And if Christ's love is compelling us, then we're gonna understand that. And it says this other part in here, I love it, says, we also believe that we have all died to our old life.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, we believe that Christ died for all, and we also believe that we have all died to our old life. This is where I think many of us in the West have a problem. Because we don't want to die to our old life. We just want to add Jesus to our existing life.
Yes.
And we want to keep, you know, God, you can touch this, and this, but not this part. I'm going to keep this part, and I'm not really wanting to die to that. Verse 15 is so beautiful. It says, He died for everyone. So that, everybody say, so that.
So that.
That is there for a reason. The so that, He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Jesus died for everyone. We understand that. We just talked about that. So that, this is the most important part, those that receive. Who are those that receive? That's us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're the ones that have received. So He's saying Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive, which He's talking about us, and it says those that receive what? His new life. This is an amazing word when you begin to look at that in the Greek, because in the New Testament, it talks about different types of life. And if we just read in English and we don't study those words, the Bible talks about bios life, which is just our natural life. It talks about psuche life, which is our thought life and the soul and those types of things. And then what he's talking about here is zoe life. It's this new life that doesn't come any other way except through a relationship with God. This Zoe life that Christ imparts. Mm-hmm. And he says, if anyone has received his new life, what is the sign that they've received his new life? It says they'll no longer live for themselves.
Yes, that's right.
They'll no longer live for themselves. In other words, when we receive his life, we lay our life down and we begin to live this new life of Jesus. And that life begins to come out of us. How do you know if you've received this new life according to this verse? What's the litmus test that you've received Christ? Is it responding to an altar call? Is it praying a prayer? No. Is it doing all these things? I'm not against any of those things. I think they're good. I think they're valid. But the litmus test of whether I've received that new life is what, according to this verse?
Amen. After the flesh.
Yeah, that I live a new life. Yes. I don't live for myself anymore. In other words, I'm stopping to live for myself. I'm not living for my pleasure. I'm not living for myself anymore. And it's impossible to live his new life if I'm living for myself. And I want to tell you, I think that's the struggle that we have on the inside of us as believers, is that we can't live two lives. We can't live two lives. And so many times we try to live two lives. We try to live for God, but we want to hold on to this and we want to hold on to that. So 2 Corinthians 5:15, I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. I love this version of this verse. It says, "So that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the One who died for us and now lives again." Man, I love that. So it talks about two different types of life in this. It says the self-absorbed life or the life poured out for Him. What does the self-absorbed life look like? Are we not in that generation where it's about the selfies? It's about me. It's about what I can get. It's about, you know, all of these things. It's about the self-life.
Yes.
And that's what is so, we live where we want, we spend our time on what we want, we buy what we want, we go where we want, we eat what we want, we serve when we want, we go to church when we want, or home group when we want, and if we're not careful and we don't realize it, we're living a self-absorbed life. It's all about us.
Amen.
And I'm talking to myself, I'm not just talking to you, I'm saying us. You know, if we're not careful, we can slip back into that self-absorbed life.
Not where you be.
Yeah, it's not. You're absolutely right. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible.
Yes, right.
Because the flesh is stronger than we are. And that's what helps us to see, God, I need your grace. I need your help. Because if you don't help me, I can't overcome this. I can't do this in my own strength. Or, when we look in this verse, we can live that life poured out for Him. And that's what this is talking about. We can live that self-absorbed life, or we can live that life poured out for Him. Those who've received His new life are supposed to live for Him and not them.
Yes.
Right? God doesn't... Here's where I think that sometimes we can have a paradigm shift, and if we have a paradigm shift in our thinking and in our theology, it can really help us in this, because God doesn't want to just save you from something. God wants to save you to something.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of times we, if we're not careful, salvation becomes about us.
Yeah.
And it becomes about, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we don't make God the focus of that. We make ourselves the focus of that. And we don't understand that salvation is that gift that comes from God, but it's for a purpose. It's not just to save us, but it's so that we might be those ambassadors, that we might be those ones that go out and reconcile others to Himself.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I want to just say that one more time. God doesn't want to just save you from something. He wants to save you to something.
Yes.
And I love, we're going to get into that in the next couple of verses. So verse 16 says, "We stopped evaluating others from a human point of view At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, He grew up. He was the eternal God. We talked about, our brother talked about in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. If you read that, you cannot help but come away and understand Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing was created.
Right.
And a lot of people get this idea, you know, that Jesus was just born 2,000 years ago. No, he was never created. He created everything.
Yeah.
And He chose to come to the earth 2,000 years ago and be born of a virgin. He chose that. He willingly submitted Himself to that, but He was around way before that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're saying is we stop evaluating other people from a human point of view. We used to evaluate Jesus from a human point of view. You know who amazed me more than anything of believers was Jesus' half-brothers.
Yeah.
You know, when they declared He's the Son of God, you know He was the Son of God.
Right.
I mean, think about that. You grew up with Him. To the people in Galilee, to the people around where Jesus, they were thinking, oh yeah, Joseph and Mary's boy, you know who he is. Yeah, he's the carpenter that's up on 3rd Street. He fixed our chair last week. You know Jesus. He's this. And they said, we used to know Him according to the flesh, but we don't know anybody according to the flesh anymore. Why is that? How differently we know Him now? Why is that? Because after Jesus died and rose again, they understood who He was.
Yes.
And what does that tell us? If you have died in Christ and you have rose again in Him through baptism and you have a new life in Him and you are in Him, don't look at who you used to be anymore and don't keep comparing yourself about who you used to be and what your life used to be, and don't do that to other people. That's what this verse is telling us. Listen, we're not those people anymore.
Right.
You're not that person anymore. No matter what happened in your past, if you're in Christ, you become a new creation. That's gone. Those things have been passed away. And so even His half-brothers, like I said, that were raised with Him, acknowledged Him as Lord. And when you're in Christ, your past no longer defines you. Now it is Christ living in you. And I think the body of Christ needs to grab a hold of that. I think that would be something great to go into the new year thinking.
Yes.
and meditating on. Listen, Christ lives in you. He wants to live through you, but He can't do that if we're living a self-absorbed life. We have to be willing to live that life where we're pouring it out for Him.
Amen.
That we're emptying ourselves of ourselves so that He can come and live through us. And when we begin to think like that, we begin to order our lives, you know, in a different way. So don't evaluate people from a human point of view that have been changed by Christ and are living that new life. You remember the woman at the well? You know, in John chapter 4, she went from being an immoral woman to a preacher of the gospel after she received this new life. And you know, people still try to label her. They still try to say, oh, she's just that, you know, she's sleeping around, what does she know? But she didn't care. She didn't allow people to continue to label her like that. She realized she had been raised to new life. We remember Zacchaeus, who was a thief. He was a tax collector. He was taking taxes for the Roman army that was invading his territory. And we know that he was defrauding his own kinsmen. He was defrauding his own people. And after Jesus came to his house, what happened? You know Zacchaeus was living a new life. How? Because a stingy thief became generous and began to give away things.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't living for himself anymore. He was living this new life poured out for Christ. Saul of Tarsus is a great example, who's writing to the Corinthian church. He was breathing threats against the church. He was attacking the church. He was a zealot for the Jewish faith. And he was basically, you know, killing Christians, dragging them off. And then what happened when he had that encounter with Jesus Christ? He became new.
Yes.
He became new.
Amen.
He went from living a self-absorbed life to a life poured out for Christ, and he suffered great things, but he did great things for the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 17 says that this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Mm-hmm. A new life has begun. Man, I love this verse. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. How do I know if I belong to Christ? Is it because I'm a part of a church, because I tithe, because I give to missions, because I do good deeds? How do I know if I belong to Christ? Have I become a new person, or am I still the same?
Yes. Amen.
Am I living a new life, or am I living the same old life, but I just add church on Sunday, or I just, you know, become part of a home group? That's the question. What does it mean? I love this word belong, because it says that if anyone belongs to Christ, what does it mean to belong to Christ when you think about that? This shirt belongs to me. I found this shirt in a store on a rack and I liked it. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to take that home. I'm going to pay for it and I'm going to take it home. And you know where this shirt stays? It stays in my closet unless I decide to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
This shirt without me is really worthless because it's just going to stay in my closet. This shirt belongs to me. I don't belong to this shirt. Right? This shirt doesn't tell me, hey, today we're going to the bank and then we're going to, matter of fact, I want you to take me to the cleaners and drop me off because there's a spaghetti stain right here that you missed. This shirt doesn't tell me what to do. In other words, this shirt was created for me. I wasn't created for this shirt. And as believers, we have to understand that we were created for God. We belong to Christ. Christ doesn't belong to us. And many people live their lives and they act like Jesus belongs to me. Like He's something that can belong to you. Jesus doesn't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I exist for Him. I exist to serve Him and to love Him and to pour myself out for Him. It's not the other way around. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me, that's what it means to belong to Jesus. The universe revolves around Him, not me. And I'm to serve Him and His purposes. He isn't here to serve me. And in Christ, the old life is gone and a new life has begun, like this verse says in verse 18. It says all of this is a gift from God. All of this. This new life is a gift from God,
yes,
who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. This is where, for me, it gets really good in this chapter, because all of these things before, we've been talking about what Christ has done for us and how He's made us new and how He's given us new life. But remember what I said earlier, He did that not just so that we could be saved and go to heaven one day, but He did that because He's got a divine purpose for each and every one of them. And Paul is telling us what it is in this verse. It's to reconcile other people to Him.
Amen.
It's to be agents of reconciliation. It's to be ambassadors of Christ. New life is this gift from God, and He brought us back to Him through Christ's obedience, death, and resurrection. And He did it for a reason, so that we can have a purpose. He didn't reconcile you to put you in a pretty church building and have a service on Sunday.
Yeah.
He reconciled you to have a relationship with Him and to give you purpose of reconciling others to Him. And it's such a beautiful thing, this ministry of reconciliation. That's what the New King James Version calls it. And it talks about the ministry of reconciliation in these verses and the word of reconciliation. And it says He's committed that to us as believers,
yeah,
as those that are living that new life. And like I shared with you before, my wife and I right now are using water filters as a way to enter in to villages that we wouldn't normally be able to enter into, so that we can introduce people to the living water and we can share the gospel and we can share this good news that there's not only clean water. I love to tell people, you know, when we give a village clean water and you see people drinking clean water for the first time and they're so excited, and I tell them, man, isn't that amazing? Clean water is so great. I said, but you know what? There's something better than clean water. And they're like, what? What is it? I'm like, living water.
Amen.
Let me tell you about the living water. We get to share Christ with them. And it's just a tool that we use in that part of the world to reconcile people to Christ. Now, if you try to take that same tool and go next door with a water filter here, people are going to say, I don't need that, because we got clean water in our faucet. But guess what? God has ideas and He has strategies that He wants to give to each of us in the sphere that we're in and in the places that we're in. And if we'll pray and ask God, He will show us how to reconcile those around us to Him.
Amen.
And He'll give us strategies and He'll give us ideas. We've done so many different things over the years, depending on where we are. I remember when we had first got married. How many of you remember Y2K? Remember when the world was supposed to end in 2000?
Yeah.
And we had just gotten married, and I remember her mom had gone out, I think she bought half of Sam's Club, and like the whole garage was full of food and cereal and just, I mean, we were ready for the apocalypse, brother. Yeah. I mean, if it had went down, we'd have ate for at least 3 months off what we had in the garage.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen. And, man, I was between jobs and just, you know, just getting out of the Marine Corps and trying to get a job. And what we decided to do is we just started praying, and we started making bags of groceries. And we just prayed. We'd pray and we'd say, God, what neighborhood do you want us to go to? We'd just pray and we'd be like, okay, let's go to this neighborhood. Then we'd go to that neighborhood. We'd take a bag of groceries. And this was, we had so much boldness back then. Let me tell you how much boldness I have. We perfected drive-by evangelism. You heard of drive-by shootings. We would do drive-by evangelism. And we would put tracts in that bag of groceries, and we'd put a letter, because I didn't have enough boldness to talk to people yet. And we'd drive through these neighborhoods in Jacksonville, and we would just feel like, okay, that's the house right there. And she would keep the car running out by the road, and I would run up to the porch with a bag of groceries, set it down, ring the doorbell, take off running, and jump in the car, and we'd take off and go to the next one. And I mean, we started doing that, and we had people that came to the church as a matter of fact from that, because we would put letters in there, and we were actually able to lead people to the Lord as they came because of that. Now, I'm sharing that with you because there's so many different ways, and each of you have different gifts. You've got different talents and abilities. My wife is a baker. She can bake really good. If I bake you a cake, it's not going to open your heart. I guarantee you.
Amen.
It may open your stomach, but it's not going to open your heart. And over the years, she's just baked stuff for our neighbors and took it over there, and that opened the door for us to be able to share this good news of what Jesus has done with other people.
Right.
So I want to encourage you, maybe what we can do going into the new year is ask the Lord, God, show me how you can use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you've given me to open the door to be able to share this good news with others.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against Him, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." What's this wonderful message of reconciliation that all of us have? It's right in this verse. It's God is no longer counting your sin against you because Jesus paid your debt that you owe God. Man, that's such a beautiful word, and people need to know that. People need to hear that, and they're only going to hear that how? If us as believers are able to share that with them. And I don't know about you, but I've tried this tactic, and it doesn't work. If I just meet somebody for the first time and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" I've tried that, and it's never worked for me. Most people just go, yeah or no, and they try to get away from me. You know, I've tried all kinds of different, you know, tactics and things to share the gospel with people. But what I'm saying is people need to hear this message. And so we have the ability as believers to ask God, "Lord, you know the sphere I'm in. You know the people I'm around. And you know the people that are in my sphere that need to hear the good news. And I'm asking you, show me how to do that. Show me how to do that with this person. Help me to have a strategy or an idea that is going to help me to share what you've done for them." And like I said, this debt forgiveness is a beautiful thing to come out from under the burden of all the sin. You know, that the weight of that sin. I watched this video a couple weeks ago, and it was this son that was an adult son who had developed some type of app. I don't know what it was, but he had developed some type of app and made millions of dollars, and his parents didn't even know it yet. And he's sitting on the couch with him, and you could tell they're blue-collar workers, you know, and they're in a house that wasn't like a very fancy house, and they're sitting there on the couch, and he's sitting between them, and he hands them an envelope, and he says, "I want you guys to look at this." And they're like, "What?" The mom opens it up. All of a sudden, she starts crying, and the dad's like, "What is it?" You know, and you can tell he's a tough guy. He grabs it, and he starts crying. It was the mortgage on their house he had just paid off, thousands of dollars of debt. Thousands of dollars of debt. And I watched them as they began to weep, and I began to think to myself, how much more is the love of Christ when He forgives our sins.
Yeah.
And people experience the forgiveness of their sin and they begin to weep like that. God wants us to experience that with other people.
Amen.
He wants us to be able to sit on the couch with somebody like that. Wouldn't that be amazing if you could do that with money and just say, "Man, I just paid off your mortgage. I just paid this off," and to see the joy that would bring people. But God's already done the work of forgiving people. He's just looking for us to go with that message of reconciliation and share that with the world.
Amen.
So verse 20, I'm going to go through these last two real quick and then we'll pray. Verse 20 says, so we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. The Bible says we're Christ's ambassadors.
That's right.
We're not U.S. ambassadors. That'd be great. We're not Russian ambassadors. We're not Chinese ambassadors. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You and me. We're His ambassadors. And boy, if you want to do a really cool study, I don't have time to get into all that, but go and just look at what an ambassador does. And look at their responsibilities and the things that they do. Ambassadors living in foreign nations. They got power. They represent all the power of their country. They've got a message from their nation to the host nation. When you think about that, the Bible says we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? Our country is not the U.S., it's heaven.
That's right.
You know, there's a higher calling on our lives and we belong to a higher place. And Jesus has sent us as His ambassadors. And like I said, every ambassador has a message. And what does this verse say that ambassador's message is? Come back to God. We're pleading with you. Come back to God. God in Jesus Christ has made a way for you to come back to Him. And how is it possible for a sinful man to come back to a holy God? Verse 21 tells us exactly how that's possible. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty. That's how we can do that. That's how we can receive that. And we can share that with other people. And we can see them enter into that relationship with God and receive that forgiveness of their sins and begin to walk in newness of life, the same life that we've received to walk in.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage you tonight, as I close this, if Christ is in you tonight, if He's in you, then you're an ambassador for Christ. You've got the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation, and God has anointed you, God has appointed you, and God has gifted you to take that message to the world, starting right where you are. You know, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, it's that famous passage, you know, and it talks about that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And for us, it's right where we are. That's where God wants us to start. He wants us to start right where we're at. And so my prayer for you tonight, as we close this part of the meeting, my prayer for all of us tonight is that we would go into 2024 with the understanding, man, that you're an ambassador of Jesus. You've got gifts. You've got talents. You've got things that God has placed on the inside of you. And I want to just say this. You're not too young. You're not too old.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a less talented than. A lot of us want to compare ourselves with ourselves. And Paul said, listen, don't do that because that's not a good thing to do. Don't compare yourselves with yourself. If we're going to compare ourselves with anybody, we've got to compare ourselves with Jesus.
Right.
And then we find out how short we are and we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and give us His power to do what He's called us to do.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to pray for you really quickly. And I want to just ask God tonight that He would stir up a fire on the inside of us to be ambassadors in 2024 for Jesus. And that wherever He sends you, it doesn't have to be, I like to tell people this all the time, you know, you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary.
That's right.
You all you got to do is go across the street.
Right.
That's right.
You know, Jacksonville and Stephen Ferry needs missionaries.
That's right.
Everywhere. And all a missionary is somebody that lives on the mission of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's, Jesus has done the hard work of reconciling the world back to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to Himself, and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation that says, come back to God because of what Jesus did. Your sins can be forgiven, and you can have a relationship with Him again. God saved you not just from something, but God saved you to something. So, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, we're so thankful
for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus. We're so thankful, God, that you sent Jesus to die for us, to give his life for us. Not just so that we could be saved. Thank you that you saved us, God. Thank you that you saved us from our sins. You forgave us from our sins. But God, you've got a purpose for our lives. And that is going forward and announcing to people that you love them and you're not angry with them and you want to save them. And you demonstrated that by sending the very best that you had, Jesus Christ, to die for them. Lord, my prayer for all of us tonight is that going into this new year, we would understand that we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ with the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, you've given us that. Lord, you've given each of us different talents, different gifts, and different abilities. And it's going to look different in each of our lives. God, we can't compare ourselves with ourselves. But we say, Holy Spirit, come and breathe on us. Come and breathe in us tonight. Set our hearts on fire. Lord, we know the time is short. And God, our desire is that you be glorified through our lives. And that when we stand before you, God, we are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God, that's our desire tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use each of us, and I pray that you would begin to release new strategies tonight, new understandings and new ideas tonight into our lives, God, of how to reach those that are in our sphere of influence, God. And Lord, we give you praise for it and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
James Grayson, Home Group Meeting, 19 December 2023. Amen.